And I want to look at an unusual subject by a man by the name of Obadiah. And I believe it relates directly to where we're at right now. A great quote in American history. And I hope you like me. I love my country and I love my history. Love the heritage of our country. You say, well, it ain't perfect. Ain't nothing perfect. But I appreciate it. It's better than anywhere else in the world. And there's a great quote in history that says this. Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And it came in a time when America was at a crossroads and there was a lot going on. And it was time for folks to give back to a country that had gave so much. Could I say to you, we're in some strange times in the church. And this ain't a time to ask what the church can do for you. She's done a lot over the years. And we owe more to the church than we could ever pay back to start with. But these are really days where we should be able to say something like this. I'm not going to ask what my church can do for me. But I'm going to ask the Lord what I can do for my church. And that's what will get us through this and come out greater on the other side. How many of you believe folks all around, they wondered about eternity right now? We ain't never really had life in our hands, but folks really believe it right now. And they're looking for something. And I believe we can all have a little part in what the Lord's doing. And I hope this will encourage you and your family today about how it pays to serve the Lord. 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 3. And the Bible says, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now notice this parentheses or you'll miss the whole thing. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all the fountains of water and unto all the brooks. Preadventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beast. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him and knew him, fell on his face and said, art thou my Lord, Elijah? And he answered him, I am, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. By the help of the Lord this morning, I want to preach on this thought, unsung hero, becoming an unsung hero. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, one more time we want to come to you and pray and ask you, Lord, to meet with us in this part of the service. Lord, thank you, God, for what our souls have already found. Lord, for the good singing, for the sweet little girl that played earlier, using and learning her talents for the Lord. Thank you, God, for your presence. Holy Ghost, for exalting Christ in our presence, in our midst. Lord, I'm like the preacher said, I'm just glad to be saved. Glad for the day you drew my heart and I came to you and asked the Lord to save me. Lord God, in times like these, it sure is good to know that you know my name and you know everything about me and you hold it all together. Lord, I pray this morning you'd help us now. God, strengthen your people in these days. Touch this precious church. My God, may the greatest days be ahead. May you do something great for them. God, raise up prayer warriors and servants in the shadows. Lord, give us holy unction. We're well aware of our inabilities and our great need for you. God, your word's powerful. Thank you for the book. Dear God, let it go forth in power as you promised. Help us today meet every need. God, we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, some time ago, a man of God, an older man that I go and pray with, he mentioned to me this text and he said, all I've ever heard is that Obadiah was a man that was a compromiser, a liberal, if you will, of his day. He said, but how come the Bible says now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly? I got to chewing on that. If you've ever taught or preached, you know that sometimes it takes a little while for it to marinate in your heart like a good steak and get it where you want it. I'll tell you how it came to me this past Christmas. I believe it was this past year. I was at my grandma's house. How many of you is the firstborn grandchild? We got any in here today? Wave at me. Now, y'all don't tell my sister. She probably ain't watching. She won't watch later, but there's something different when you're the firstborn, ain't it? You're the favorite. I don't know if children's like that too. My dad would probably say no. My mama probably would. It depends on which parent you ask. But all of us know what it's like to be that first grandbaby. Nobody else is loud in Mama's kitchen, but I am. I ain't got a clue how to cook, but you can look at me. I know a lot about the eating part. I like good country food. Granny will let me get in there and she'll tell me what to do and I'll help her. And Mama's 80 years old now, and so you know we used to eat at 11. Now we're eating at 2 o'clock. It's getting hard on her. This past year I said, why don't we just cook up something like biscuits and a little bit of bacon and eggs and call it a day and it'll be easy on you. She thought about it a minute and she said, no, I don't believe we're going to do that, son. It's her privilege. See, my grandma don't have much education. They lived in a meal house and they never had much. All Granny's ever done is cook for preachers and our family and sew and tailor suits for them. That's how she served God in her little way from the shadows. And as I was sitting there helping her, all of her red face got all together. And then she reached one of them blood pressure pills. How many of you know what that's all about? It wasn't too long after that time was running out. And we got stoves full of stuff. And all of a sudden she's getting worse. She's starting to sweat. I said, Granny, you ain't looking good. You checked your blood. She'd go in there and check it. She said, it's up. She reaches for one of them extra pills. High octane. If that pill won't help you, you in trouble. She took one of them and all of a sudden you all come back down. And she is feeling good again. And as I sat down out there in that lazy boy recliner and was waiting on everybody to get there and the food was spread, the Holy Ghost of God sat down with me and said, have you ever thought what it takes for your grandma to put this together? Older men always told me, said, son, once you get to be about 30 years old, get married and have children, you'll think different. And I found that to be true. Just turned 31 the other week and got 2 children. Here's what I found out. You see everything about life differently. And you appreciate things in a different way. And I got to looking and I said, Lord, you're right. Granny's done compromised her health. She knows on Social Security money. Ain't no way she could have afforded all this unless she gave something up. I wonder how much meal she put back. I'm sure she ate good, because if I knew she wasn't, I'd go buy it for you. I'll take care of your mama. I'll say amen right there. But I mean, she might have wanted this, but got that instead. I wonder how many outfits she put back at the local Belk's down there where she goes and over at Sears and down by the other stores, because she said, Christmas is coming and I want to have a bunch of presents under that tree. I said all that to say this. You understand that Christmas don't just happen. Thanksgiving don't just happen. There's some things in our lives that we enjoy only off the back of somebody else's sacrifice. We live in a nation that don't want to talk about it, but there's a real truth. You enjoying what you are today, and so am I, off the back of somebody else. That's why we don't throw away our history and we don't tear it down, because somebody gave their red royal blood so we could breathe and smell freedom today. This country ought to mean something to you. That's why we stand up for the flag, because it means something to us. Because somebody loved us enough, even though they didn't know us, they said it's worth it all, and somebody sacrificed. We don't know their names. That's why there's a tomb of an unknown soldier. I don't know hardly anybody that died. But guess what? That flag still waves because somebody gave it all. Somebody sacrificed. Hey, can I tell you something today, church? That's true at Mama's house. And that's true in our country, in our flag, and our heritage. But did you know that it's true at the house of God? You look around at this beautiful facility. I don't preach in any churches prettier than this one. They probably don't exist. I ain't been everywhere, but I got a good idea. This is about as pretty as she comes. But do you understand it don't just happen? It didn't just fall together this morning. The fact that the Lord moved. The fact that the God got on them. The fact that you came to the altar and got some help. That's not a coincidence. It didn't just happen. Somebody had to pray. Somebody had to practice. Somebody had to get a hold of God. Somebody had to vacuum. Somebody turned the lights on and got the AC right. Somebody built this place. Somebody gave money for this place. There's a pastor that's laboring, his family sacrificed, and you have. I'm just convincing you and reminding you this morning that if you want to enjoy something, it'll usually cost you something. My grandma had to pay a price to enjoy all of us at Christmas time. And if we want to come out of this mess we're in and everything that's going on, and we want church to have the touch on it, and we want our youngins and grandbabies to know God and revival to come and a touch of God to come and the Lord to answer your prayers, He's still God today. He can still do exceedingly abundantly above. But somebody's going to have to serve from the shadows. Somebody's going to have to pay the price. Somebody's going to say it's worth what I got to give. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth putting it back at the local store. I'm willing to do whatever God wants because I need the Lord. Now to show you how Obadiah did this, boy, I hate to spoil a message before I get started, but I ain't going to lie to you. Can I tell you something this morning? You sign up today to serve God and say, I'm going forward for the Lord. That'd be the best thing you could ever do. The dividends are out of this world, but you hear this, little preacher. You'll also find out. You'll fight hell by the acre. Not everybody's going to be excited. Not everybody's going to be pumped up. Not everybody's going to appreciate you. Not everybody's going to say thank you. But guess what? There's a God in heaven who knows. And it's worth it all. Let me prove it to you. I take my seat. Notice with me, first of all, by people in the life of Obadiah, the unsung hero, the servant of the shadows. Notice with me, first of all, he was misunderstood. Verse number 4, you find here that Obadiah, he took the prophets by 100, hid them in a cave. But he was misunderstood. What do you mean, preacher? Well, let me prove it to you. Look at verse number 3. Well, right before it, rather, if you've got a Scofield Bible like me, the Bible says this, a believer out of touch with God. That already sounds pretty rough. But notice now it gets worse. There's a little footnote by his name, the letter B. Then it says this, in such a time as the reign of Ahab and Jezebel, a believer's true place was by Elijah's side. Obadiah is a warning type of the men of God who adhere to the world while still seeking to serve God. The secret of the Lord and the power of the Lord were with Elijah. Notice this little part. Now he goes for the juggler here, Mr. Scofield. All Bible historians, they seem to say the same. The separated servant. Let me tell you what's going on here in good old Georgia redneck that we all can understand. Scofield, every other Bible commentary, history. Do you know sometimes history don't even get it right? They all look at this man and they say, man, he should have been out here with Elijah. He should have been on the outside creating fireworks. He's in there with the king enjoying the pleasures. He's a liberal. He's a compromiser. He's a no good for nothing. What I'm telling you today is this man was misunderstood. You say, well, preacher, how do you know he wasn't those things? I told you, remember that phrase? Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. I'm pretty sure in my King James Bible it still says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you fear God, you got enough wisdom to serve Him and to listen to Him. So if the Holy Ghost who wrote our Bible said He feared the Lord, not just feared Him, but feared Him greatly, then that tells me that Obadiah is a man that loved God, feared God, served God, and walked with God. How in the world can you be a liberal compromiser, no good for nothing, somebody that's sold out to the world when God says you fear the Lord greatly? Here's what's happened. This man didn't do it the way Elijah did it. And like a good Baptist, Mr. Scofield and everybody else said, well, he ain't like we are. Well, he ain't doing it like I'm doing it. I ain't talking about compromise this morning now. I'm talking about some people are loud, some people are meek. Some people sing and some can't. I tell you what, I get jealous every time somebody gets on the piano and plays like that and God moves. I say, boy, I wish I could do that. There's a few places I go, they don't even have a piano player. And I wish I had somebody. But I don't have those gifts. And some of you, you may not preach or you may not do this, but you hear this preacher this morning. Every single one of us can do something for God. But guess what? There'll always be a crowd that may not appreciate. They may misunderstand you. They may say, they just want to be seen. Oh, they just want that. Or, oh, they always get to do that. Or, oh, so-and-so does that. And people may say bad things. They may not say thank you. People may do wrong. And history may not remember you correctly. You could literally live your life for God and folk forget about you and not even remember you the right way. But I want you to know that there's a God in heaven who, if He could write our Bible under inspiration of Himself, and He penned down that Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, if God remembered him correctly, God will remember you correctly. He's a good record keeper this morning. The Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows my heart. I'm telling you, I don't care what everybody else does. If everybody else quits church, if everybody else loses their mind through all of this, if everybody else backs up on God, you ought to just say, as for me and my family, I don't care what they say or don't say. I don't care if anybody understands or not. If you vacuum carpets, do it to the best of your ability. Work with children and serve on. Sing, then sing on. If you just are a prayer warrior in a prayer closet, we need that more than anybody or anything. Just pray on. Keep serving the Lord. But don't be surprised if you're misunderstood. Notice with me, he was misunderstood, but he was also mistreated. Verse number 8. Here's Elijah. He says, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Obadiah is what we would call the secondary prophet. And I hate to even use that because there's no big I's or little U's in ministry, church, or anything else in the business of God. But there's usually certain men that have more influence than other men. And a lot of times, a younger man typically would be just getting started. He has a very small realm. And if a man's lived correctly in God's to bless him, he'll be at a higher realm of influence. So guess what? Naturally, like anything else, you want your dad's approval. You want people that you look up to's approval. It's the same way with preachers. And it seems as though that Obadiah is sort of the man in a small realm inside of the kingdom. But everybody knows who Elijah is. He's a prophet of fire. He's a legend in the making on the outside. And so here's what Obadiah wants when he sees him. God providentially sets all this up. I hope you believe in a big God this morning that's in control. And he puts them together. And it's an opportunity for two Christians living in a pandemic, a drought of their day, of mass proportions, to encourage each other and to get a game plan together and work together and do something for God. And Obadiah, in a gracious, humble spirit, bows and recognizes him and says, I appreciate you. But guess what Elijah does? He bows up. You read the tone of the text. Elijah's basically, he doesn't acknowledge anything. He says, my Lord, look what I'm doing for God. He's not bragging. He's trying to convince the elder man of God, if you will, what he's doing, if they're on the same side. But Elijah is too busy thinking only what he's doing matters. And so Elijah bows up and he's almost like he's saying, yeah, go tell your little boss I'm here. You ain't doing what I'm doing. You go tell your boss. And it crushes Obadiah. And he was mistreated. Can I tell you something? I won't pick on nobody else. I don't know anybody else, but I've been a Baptist since 9 months before I was born. Some of y'all get that over a biscuit in a little while. I know Baptists. Listen, you ain't got to be in church long. Somebody going to hurt your feelings. Somebody's going to get a toot, a tone, or something. They're not going to say thank you. They're not going to appreciate you. And we ought to. There's power in a thank you. If we've lost anything in this country, we've lost the ability to appreciate people. In the small things, just hey, thank you for opening the door. Thank you for just a smile. Thank you for a card. Thank you for a prayer. Thank you for that message, preacher. Thank you for Sunday school. Thank you for what my children have. Thank you for the youth time. Thank you for this. We ought to just thank one another. Say, well, preacher, let's not get carried away. If we ought to get carried away with anything, it ought to be just being kind. And Elijah had an opportunity to fire that man up and bless him. But instead, in his pride, he crushed him. And so we find by people, here we got a man now. He's misunderstood and he's mistreated. Boy, it's a pretty sad story so far, ain't it, church? But I'm glad that it don't end there. I find by people it may have been rough. But notice with me, by God, now take my seat. By God we find first of all that his focus was relentless. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Here's what I come to tell you this morning on that. Obadiah gets crushed by Elijah. Elijah messes him up, breaks his heart. He doesn't say thank you. He moves on. Obadiah doesn't get anything. But guess what? You don't read a verse where he got the pooch lip, sucked his thumb, went home and didn't come back. You know what he did? He picked up his garment, put his jacket back on, put his working tools underneath his arm for the Lord, saddled back up, walked right back into the king's palace, and went right back to putting his family on the line and living for the Lord. I don't find anywhere where Obadiah quit on God. But Elijah did quit on the Lord. He did go to a juniper tree. I'm not here to compare people today or say who's important, but it's amazing how we get consumed with Elijah's and say, well, look, it's all about the preacher. It's all about the man out front. Or it's all about so-and-so who does all the shouting and praying. We need them kind of people. But you hear me today, we need a lot of more Obadiahs than we need Elijahs. You want to know why? Because if Obadiah wouldn't have kept the prophets and the heritage alive, it wouldn't have mattered if Elijah would have had a showdown on Carmel and prayed the fire down. If Obadiah wouldn't have protected God's word till Elijah was ready to send the power and God used him to send the power and the fire, it wouldn't have made a difference. I'm just telling you, church is really all about a whole bunch of people that nobody knows their name and history may never remember you, but somewhere in a shadow you grab your little corner and you have your focus on the Lord and it's relentless. When people don't do right, you serve on. When the whole world blows apart like it is right now, you just grab your Bible, put your clothes on, grab your family by the hand, crank your car up, hopefully a Chevrolet, somebody say amen, and drive to the church house and come in here and shout anyways and pray anyways and sing anyways. Because if God was good a year ago when we had the best economy that we've ever had, He's still good today when everybody's losing their mind. I don't care. I do care what happens on November the first Tuesday when we have the election. But if it all goes south, guess what? The next Sunday your focus ought to still be to the world that you really belong to. And you grab your Bible and your family. Park yourself on a pew. Shout your preacher on. Keep believing God. Keep worshiping God. Keep telling people about the Lord. Why? Because we ain't living for anything down here. We ain't living for Elijah. We ain't living for one another. We're living for the King of Kings in glory. And our focus has got to get on Him. We've got to see what really matters. We've got to remember what we're really doing again, church. And we've got to say, it ain't about what happens with others. Jesus is worth it. And go for God. You say, but preacher, the devils are killing us. And I don't know what to do. I give you a little quote here. I don't have a dog in this race, so don't get mad. I know I'm in football country. This is probably bulldog country. And I'm good with that. Where I'm from, we ain't got a ne'er good football team, so I pull for whoever I'm at preaching with. So I'm with y'all today. We ain't got no good, so it don't matter. I'm really a West Virginia fan if it comes down to it, because my wife's from there in football. But Dabo Sweeney said this quote, man, he'd give you some stuff, make you want to go get studied up and preach on it. And he said this, he's getting ready to play Ohio State. You remember back when we played football, I know that seems like about 10 generations ago. He's getting ready for that national championship game. And all the news articles, some of you remember this, all of them said, Ohio State's better, stronger, faster, this, that, other prospects, NFL, they're going to kill them. Clemson's played nobody. Mr. Dabo walked in game week and held up all them newspapers. You know what he said? He said, look, men. They all looked at him. You want a good pep talk? Listen to the one the coach gave him. He looked at him and said, they're right.
Yeah.
How'd you like that? Your coach looked and said, man, they telling the truth. They are better than y'all. That'll make you feel good, won't it? But he said this. He got up there in that coach's position. And he looked at him and he said, but men, listen. He said, talent don't win championships, teams do. And he said a statement. I come up off the couch. Fired me up. And I've been thinking on it ever since. Here's what he said. He said, men, I want you to remember one thing. He said, they can prepare for what we do, but not who we are. He said, they know we're going to run this play, our quarterback's this way, our defense lines up like this, so-and-so's at this position, so-and-so does this. He said, they can plan for all that. But he said, they can't plan for the X factor on the inside. That we've got a brotherhood and a love, and that we're in this thing for something bigger than ourselves. Man, I got to thinking about that. And I said, my God in heaven, that's what the Baptist church needs. That's what we need to be reminded of. That's what we got to get back to doing. You hear me? Our enemy, our opponent, if you will, he's bigger, stronger, faster, wiser, smarter. He knows all these things we don't. It's totally out of our control right now, church. We're being reminded how big darkness is, how deep it runs in our country and our government, how many strongholds Satan really has. And if you ain't careful, it's easy to get so depressed, you say, what in the world's the use anyways? But can I tell you something this morning, church? They can prepare for what we do, but not who we are. He can know when you meet. He can know what your preacher's going to do. He can know what he's going to preach. He can know what's coming this fall. He can know a whole lot of things. But hey, if you're saved by the grace of God and you're part of the true church here at Liberty, you've got the Holy Ghost of God living on the inside of you. And my Bible still says, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. He can know it all. He can be greater, stronger, and faster. But I'm telling you, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And if we start remembering not who we are in ourselves, but the Lord's on the inside, we've already got the victory. I've read the back of the book, we win. We can keep our focus. We can serve on why? Because God's got it under control. Daddy, you can keep believing. Mama, you can keep believing. Church, you can keep going for God. There's a God who's still got it under control. I preach these 2 points together, and I'll close. I want to tell you about focus that was relentless. But then I find this. I find a faith that was rewarded. And a family that was remembered. I'm about to step outside the Bible for just a second. But let me give you a little Jewish history I learned. I love going to Israel. Found this in Josephus' writings. The first century historian. Here's what he said. Said that Obadiah went to a far country. Because how many of you know whether you were $10 or $10 million? You know where your money's at. I know we're in a Baptist church and we get nervous about money, but you shout right there. It's all right to know where your money's at. We all do. And in a pandemic, I promise you, in a drought like that, they knew where their money was. He couldn't just go into Ahab's storehouse and take all of it, even if he was second in command. So history says he went to a rich man in a far land. He borrowed the money to feed these prophets. Just think with me real quickly this morning. Think about this. What if it's just $1 a day to feed them? Elijah got 2 meals. I reckon they did too. God don't never sell short his servants. You honor the Lord, He'll honor you. 2 times a day, maybe it's worth $1. We'll be conservative, unlike most pollsters today. Can I get a witness? We'll shoot us on the conservative side. Maybe just $1. 100 of them. But I got a question. What about women and children? Bible usually always records just the men, like the feeding of the 5,000. We really don't know. How long was it? Well, the drought was 3.5 years, James 5. But how long did he feed them? It don't say. What if it's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years? Some of you men in here that run business and crunch numbers for a living, you start... What if it's 365 days times 3 years times 400 or 500 people times however much it really did cost? We could be talking about a $1 million operation running right here. And God's asked one man to have the faith. Now you hear me, we live in America. You can buy anything you want, just put it on a credit card. And the thing is, you really don't even have to pay it back. Just tell them you're sorry, miscalculated, wait 5 years and they'll let you do it again. I ain't never seen nothing like it. Sometimes it's hard being a Christian because we can't act that way like everybody else. But in them days, it's different. You know what they had to do? They signed their name in blood. And if you didn't pay it back, your youngins went in slavery till the debt was paid. Handshake, your word meant something back in. And so this man marches into this country, looks some rich man in his eyeballs and says, I'm willing to put my children on the line. I'm willing to put my wife on the line. I'm willing to put our whole family and our livelihood on the line. Not just for anybody. I wouldn't do this for anybody else, but he says that man maybe quite possibly says God sent me. And I gotta do what God says. How many of you know that obedience to God is still where the blessings come? God didn't say do anything you ain't. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Don't make it up. You better know God's in it. But he said the Lord's asked it of me. And he's worth everything. And guess what history says? History says he died tragically. I mean, right in the middle of doing all that for God, and God let him die. You know, sometimes I'll just be honest with you today, church. I don't have a clue what God's up to. Older I get, I got more questions than I got answers. That don't make you a carnal Christian. That don't make you a doubter that ain't got any faith. There is a realism side to this thing. That's why the Lord gave us a verse. He just told us like it was. We ain't living by facts. We're living by faith. His ways ain't our ways. And His thoughts ain't our thoughts. I wouldn't do things the way God did, but hey, that's because I ain't God. But one day when we get to heaven, and we got a mind where we can understand, and we can see things from heaven's perspective, I promise you, you'll never say God did wrong or sold anybody short. Sometimes you know what we got to do? We just got to keep on arriving for the Lord. And to keep on saddling up, minding God and serving Him. And just wait till we get to heaven. Some things only heaven will explain for us. And Obadiah died. You imagine what that little woman said. Boy, I met some little missionary mamas. I can think of a family right now. Served in Mexico and her husband died. Didn't live to be old preacher and she's got them youngins. He's in heaven and they still trying to carry on this little ministry. I wonder if she's ever just sat there like Obadiah's wife and said, God, we gave you everything. Why me, Lord? Why? There's a lot of mean people that don't even serve you. Why my family? History don't record how he died. We just know he died suddenly. Boy, there she's sitting brokenness. Because mind you, the debt's still got to be paid. She's looking at them children. She said, they're gone. I can't work. And if I could, I couldn't make up that kind of money. She says, it's all over. And it seems like God has forgot about him. I said everything I said today to come to say this. All the way from Greensboro, North Carolina. Some of you probably feel like the Lord's forgot about you. And all this going on, you feel like, man, my business. Saw that little woman on the news the other day that sold out Nancy Pelosi. You know why they did that? Because she said, I ain't even got 6 months left. I'm going to turn all these girls loose. Said 60% of our people that used to come here and get their hair done and we had this thriving business I worked all my life to get. She said even 60-some percent done fled out of the whole city because they're scared for their life. She said it's all over. And she got so offended and mad she sold her out. Put her on the news. You know what she feels like? She feels like everybody's forgot about her. You feel like, man, my business is like that. My family's like that. My children in school. God, where are you at? We're drowning. My mama can't even get enough nurses to come in at the doctor's office she manages. She's a leading nurse. They got her to take their youngins at home and do school. And they're saying, we can't afford not to work, but we can't leave an 8-year-old at home by themselves. Everybody's in the middle of a mess. You know what the devil says? God don't care. God's forgot about you. I promise you, he went to little Obadiah's wife and whispered in her ear and said, it's all over. Them youngins are going down. God don't care. Where's your God now? But I got good news for you. That ain't where the story ends. History says that Elijah, he was going to heaven, looked over at Elisha and told him the story of how he mistreated Obadiah. And he said, I wanted to go make it right, but he died before I could get there. How many of you know you ought to treat people right? You may not get a chance to make it up. Do right the first time. He said, but young man, he said, if you get my mantle, and that's what God's put together. He said, hear this old man's heart. He said, I'm burdened over that family. I'm burdened over my foolishness and what I've been. And he makes such a big deal out of it. He said, you go check on her and see if you can do something. So much so, now let's check back in the Bible. 2 Kings chapter number 4, only two chapters after he picks up the mantle. And history says Elijah shared that with him. He comes and he knocks on the door. The Bible just says a widow woman answered the door. And Elisha says, well, actually he sees her in town and asks her how she's doing. They come to the house. And they go inside and she tells him, says, my youngins are going in slavery. We got a debt we can't pay and we don't know what we're going to do. You know what history ties together? Said that that little widow woman that Elisha comes and does the miracle of the oil is Obadiah's wife. He says, here's what we're going to do. He tells the story. He says, Elijah's sorry. He said, God put all this together. She's probably sitting there and she says, you mean the Lord ain't forgot about me and my little old family? And Elisha says, Lord, no. Said, God's been a-working for months now. And he had the man of God tell me, I got here as quick as I could. Sometimes you got to hang in long enough to find out help's already on the way. You ain't got no idea what God's got for you tomorrow. That's why you got to still love and serve Him today. And he says, go borrow all the pots. And they get all them pots. And they spread them out everywhere. And said she borrowed all she could. You know what the Bible says? Said he prayed. They shut the door in private with God and sought the Lord. It says that oil started going from pot to pot to pot to pot to pot. And it says when it got to the last one, all stayed. And you know what my favorite part of that whole story is? When you tie together and you find out it's Obadiah's wife, according to history, is what the prophet said next on behalf of the Lord. He looked at that little woman. He said, you take this oil. It's more precious than gold in them days, church. He said, go pay thy debt. That's good. Her children are out of slavery. That's enough to shout all eternity over. But he says in so many words, because how you served the Lord, because you and your family, your husband gave it all to God, God don't stop there. He says, go pay thy debt. And then he says this, and live off the rest. I just come to tell somebody today, you keep on going for God by faith. You may not have to borrow $1 million and pay off a church enterprise. I highly doubt the Lord's asking anybody to do that. But hey, just keep praying. Keep reading that Bible as a family. Keep loving your spouse. Keep coming to church. Keep backing your preacher. Keep giving to God. Keep pouring your heart out. If you vacuum, vacuum on. If you run the sounds, run the sound. Security, green committee. I don't care what you do for God. As long as you do something for the Lord. And you keep doing it to the best of your ability. Because one day, your faith will be rewarded. And your family will be remembered. Ever since I've got a hold of that every now and then, when I have to pack them youngins in the car, they crying and don't want to get in the car seats, and my wife's tired, and she's packed all day, and everything's a bunch of chaos, and we're driving down the road, going 7 miles somewhere, and I don't even know if when I get there if they even gonna care. Not everywhere's like here. And the devil will say, you crazy. What are you doing? Sometimes they can't go. Never a blue moon. I try not to make it happen very much at all. But if it has to be, I go by myself. And some young man will ride with me. Some young preacher. And I'll be sitting over there and he's driving. And just when you think you're having a good time, the devil will crawl up in there and say, your family's going to die. Your children's going to grow up and be bitter. What are you doing? All your buddies are at home. They playing. They going out and doing something fun with their kids and you gone. What kind of daddy are you? Listen, church, there's balance to everything and we better put our family first. But you hear me? Anything you do for God, if you're a deacon, Sunday school teacher, some little prayer warrior, some little sweet woman that plays, sings, prays, loves people, if all you do like my grandma's cook food and so for the preacher, you do it with every fiber in your body. Because you just remind the devil like I do now going down the road and say, devil, you are a lie and you get out of here. Because if God remembered, If God remembered His family, God will remember yours. He's no respecter of persons. You give God what He asks of you. You do everything to the best of your ability. You give yourself to this church. I know this is old-fashioned. I know we like them messages about getting something. I come today to talk about giving something more than your pocketbook. I'm talking about your heart. I'm talking about your tears. I'm talking about your spirit. I'm talking about dying to sin, praying and living for God, giving up all your little pleasures and pet sins, getting serious about God in these days. This is a war we're in. This ain't a playground. This ain't a spiritual vacation. This ain't a, hey, hallelujah, we ain't got to have Sunday night. Let's go goof off all the time. No, somebody better rise up like the greatest generation in America and look the devil in the eyeballs and say, my focus is relentless. I'm loving God now more than ever. If my business blows up, I just come to church every day. Don't know where food will come from, but I just come to church and pray and ride around with the preacher. I ain't a quitting on God. I don't care what happens, devil. And you'll find that your faith will be rewarded and your family will be remembered. You give yourself to God, the Word of God, the house of God, and the God of all of that will give Himself to your family. He'll save them children. He'll answer them prayers. But somebody has got to trust the Lord. Is it okay if somebody comes and plays? While she comes, could I just give you this challenge this morning? You got all these things you want God to do for you, and that's good. God ain't intimidated. He likes us to pray and ask for things. Prayer still works. But could it be that God wants us to first come find out what He wants from us before we tell Him what we want from Him? God's looking for some Obadiahs that'll just slip somewhere in the shadow. Everybody can't get up here. It gets real crowded in the limelight. But the real rewards come in the shadows of the back. And just do little things for a big God. You stand by God and God's man and God's house. The God of all of that will stand by you. That's old timey. But my papa raised me that way. And he died 65 years old with cancer. He didn't live to be old. Sort of like Obadiah. Come quickly and he was gone quickly. I didn't understand it, but guess what? He lived and died by the church. As far as I know, everybody in my family, all of us was about near in a mess when Grandpa died. But since then, I'm a preaching right with God. Answer the call to preach. My whole family's in church. As far as I know, everybody's saved and serving the Lord. Since he went to heaven October the 1st, 2006, my best friend. Guess what? He died honoring God in God's house. God's honored him. I wonder how many times God opens up heaven. Says, Carl, come on over here. Says, let's just watch your grandboy today. He's going to preach again because you serve God right. He's now serving the Lord. You're living for something bigger than yourself. You're living for the people you love. Even in the middle of everything going on, there's still a God that'll honor you if you'll honor Him. I wonder if old Obadiah got to open up heaven and him and Elijah locking arms. They're buddies now. Everything's fine. They're in heaven together. If they got to look down from paradise, I guess where they'd have been then, they got to look. God let them see maybe. And there's that little wife crying them tears saying, God remembered. God remembered. I'm just trying to convince you today, God ain't forgot about you. And He loves you. And when everybody else walks out, that's when He'll walk in. Let's stand all over the building.